Welcome back to A Fresh Story, the podcast where we have conversations about brave decisions to start over again. I'm Olivia.
And I'm Jenny. And we're so glad you're here today. Hi there. Hello.
Hi.
I don't know. How often do you say hi to people in person?
Maybe we need a new...
In real life.
Hi. Hey. Oh, okay. Anyway.
How are you, Sissy?
I'm good. I have a kid home sick. It's been a long time. I feel like everybody has a kid home sick right now. It's 'tis the season for sick kids. I ran to CVS this morning to get Newsday thinking I was in print. And reader, I was not in print. I was scolded, however, at CVS for reading the paper too long and then had to buy the $2 Newsday that then I brought home to our mother. And mom's like, were you in it? I was like, no. But I did stop at Urban Coffee and got a coffee and a pumpkin oat bar. So that was I got an oat milk latte. So that was my morning. How are you?
I am good. I had a little bit of a disappointing morning, I'm going to be honest with you. I frequent a coffee shop while I'm here in Scotland. That is a vegan coffee shop, which means I can eat everything because true followers will know I have a dairy allergy. And I ordered something. I won't say the coffee shop's name because I love them, but I ordered a cinnamon bun that had Biscoff butter on top today, and it really wasn't very good. But I did have a sandwich that I bought at Love Crumb, which is a wonderful coffee shop
Love
here in Edinburgh,
Crumb.
Yesterday.
Love Crumb.
It was a rocket onion and goat cheese because I'm not allergic
What's
to goat
a rocket?
Cheese. It's complicated.
Did you say rocket?
Rocket is lettuce. It's like
arugula. Okay, I never heard that phrase before.
They have it. Like, they call it that in the States too sometimes.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. I just go to fancier restaurants than you in the States.
This is true. I don't leave the house as we've said on the last episode.
I ordered it and it was big. So I brought home half and I ate it today for lunch and it was delicious. I heated it up with a little pepperoni on top. So that's what I'm eating today. And Thomas is making dinner tonight. So
awesome.
I look forward to that.
We had on the beautiful and wonderful Kate Sisk. She is the founder and entrepreneur behind Hidden Intimates, which is a beautiful lingerie clothing apparel line.
It's a lingerie brand, yeah.
Right. That is really a movement to help empower women feel amazing and sexual and goddess-like in their bodies. Kate was on Married at First Sight, and we talked about some of my favorite topics: narcissistic abuse, ADHD, beauty standards, all the fun stuff. But it really was a gorgeous conversation.
The big three.
I could talk about them. Maybe each one of those should have a podcast. No, I'm kidding. It was a beautiful conversation, really, about her healing journey after being on a reality television show and what it was like to be on reality TV a little bit and the beauty standards.
She had a great piece of advice at the end that I won't reveal about what to do when you're going through your fresh start and when you're in your healing journey. And she was just lovely, lovely person to spend the afternoon with, really. I mean, so warm and kind and
so much about empowering women, which is what we're all about, right? Like, her platform is really, and again, she took a moment in time, which she talks about on the show, and turned it into this beautiful empowerment movement platform for women. And we are all about that. So enjoy the conversation.
She made me want to take boudoir photos too.
Well, we have insinuated ourselves into her business as models somehow. So, enjoy the beautiful conversation with Kate Sisk. And as always, we are proud of you. We love you. And let us know what you think. Kate Sisk is an entrepreneur and the founder of Hidden Intimates. Hidden Intimates is a lingerie and sleepwear online boutique inspiring women to love themselves piece by piece. They offer inclusive sizing and diverse model representation as they break societal beauty standards and promote female empowerment, which we are all about here at Fresh Starts. Kate is also a travel writer and blogger, and you may have seen Kate on television, and she was on season 8 of Married at First Sight, where she married a stranger on TV, which ended up being a fresh start of sorts and led to the next phase of her journey. Fun fact for listeners, and we discussed this on another episode, but Jenny was actually on season one of Married at First Sight as the wedding officiant. So it's a very small Married at First Sight world. Yes. Kate, I've personally been a big fan of yours for years. I watched season 8 when it was on and I was yelling and throwing things at the television. But we are honored to have you here today because you are what we like to call a heart-led leader, and you took a moment in your life and turned it around into a movement, which we're all about. So, Kate, we're thrilled to have you. Can you take us back to the beginning of your fresh start journey?
Sure. And also, I'm really excited to be here, too. I listened to your other podcast, and I was like, I really want to talk to these girls. I feel like we have so much in common. So I'm really excited for this conversation.
Yay.
So for my fresh start, I think the one that like everybody is aware of is obviously the Married at First Sight. But I think it starts a little bit before that because I think it starts with my parents. So about a year before the show, my parents got divorced. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of brought into that a little bit more than I probably should have been. But that was something that I went through with my mom. And then I also did the Married at First Sight, and that ended up in divorce. And there's just been so many different fresh starts I feel like I've had since then that, and obviously Hidden's the big one.
Yeah. We're here for all of them. So, so how did your parents' divorce kind of change maybe the trajectory of your life a little bit?
Well, it kind of changed a lot of things, because I think one of the biggest things it changed was the things that I learned in therapy, maybe. Mm-hmm. Combined with like when I started going to therapy after the show, and I've been in it before too, but never about like my parents' relationships or anything mm-hmm. like that. But the biggest thing that I think I learned was what narcissistic abuse was.
Mm-hmm.
So that was definitely one of the biggest lessons I learned, because I didn't even know what it was. And it's so complicated and just kind of like, it can change the way your brain chemistry works.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's 100%. Insidious. The narcissistic like abuse is insidious, and it's almost a magical like thing if you look at it from like an outsider's perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Because the way that the narcissist is able to abuse you and then bring you back and then like gaslight you and convince you that you're the abuser, like just the dance that they do is like, if it was a ballet, it would be impressive. But when it's being done to you or somebody that you love, it's truly horrifying to watch.
It really is. It's very, very, very scary.
Especially narcissistic abuse is that they tend to love very open, kind, and sweet people, right? Who are really yeah. like, and it's funny, I was rewatching your season to kind of get prepared for the show. And all that kept coming across was like, you are a beautiful soul. Like you have such light about you, and like, you know, you playing the guitar and you're like with your family, and like even when you were trying your wedding dresses on, like you just were so hopeful and happy. The thing with narcissistic abuse is they tailor it to exactly mm-hmm. who you are. Mm-hmm. So it's almost impossible to tell the world you're being abused. And it's really scary, right? Like we said, but what were some of the things, like the tools maybe that you learned in therapy that kind of helped you? Because now you're like the super like world changing, like empower, like all about like this movement. So, like,
you guys are you know, too kind.
No, but like what I mean, you are like, you know, first of all, for anybody that hasn't seen the Hidden Intimates website, Kate is a model on the website herself and she's fucking gorgeous. And, you know, I just think like, so where there's got to be a journey there, right? You went from being like a reality show person that had a very horrible experience mm-hmm. to becoming this entrepreneur. So what kind of was that journey in between, that goo phase, as we always like to call it?
Yeah, that was really interesting. So when I found out that the marriage wasn't going to work, I knew I was going to go through probably a dark mourning period of mm-hmm. like all of this hope that I had being lost, and I didn't want to feel that. So I was thinking, what can I do that's going to make me passionate, that's going to make me feel okay, that's going to make me want to live like a good, happy, fulfilled life. And one of the things that happened during the show, which is connected to Hidden Intimates, is, you know, reality TV and TV in general has this beauty standard or body standard. Like, if you look, I went back and watched the seasons and I watched other reality shows, and I saw like the women that stayed together tended to be the gym rats, like even on my series. The two, like, and they talk about it in the show, like they're like, these girls go to the gym, and it was like a recurring thing on like every episode. And I was like, but before I met them or before I started, I was telling one of my friends, I was like, I'm actually really excited because I'm not the typical body, like, and I'm not a gym rat. I'm a little curvier. Like, it's not like I'm pretty average, I guess, but like, I'm just a normal person. And I feel like the girls on these shows that are portrayed to receive and deserve love and a happy marriage are the ones that look like that. And that's not me. So I'm really excited to be like one, a girl that doesn't look like that, that can represent like people that look normal or deserve a happy marriage and deserve love.
Yeah.
100%.
But
yeah, I mean, that's, you're taking on a lot of responsibility, and like, you know, as that person to be like, I'm going to be the one. And like, I think that we need representation like that as a girl in like a normal body, right? We need that representation like that. But like, I, as your, as a fact, if you were my friend, I wouldn't want you to be the one, you know what I mean? It's, that's an uphill battle to be fighting, because even off, I mean, I talked about it in my episode, like even off air, right? Like, I still was told I didn't really deserve love because of my body. And it's to put yourself in front of all those people that are at that crowd of the Married at First Sight viewing audience is already coming into it so judgmentally too. Right. Because it's like, what kind of person and who does this? And, you know, it's so, it's already so incredulous. And then to add to it, like, and I'm comfortable in my body. Like, people hate that. People hate that when people are comfortable in their bodies and like proud of their bodies when they aren't subscribing to the, you know, gym rat size zero routine.
And I think that there are a lot more women who have been criticized for the way that they look by their partners than we talk about. And
well, I don't know if you watched Love is Blind. I don't know if maybe you're turned off of reality television now.
I can't do it. I can't.
Yeah, I don't blame you. But it's been interesting because there's been a controversy going on with that, where one of the characters, I'm sure you know what's going on, but one of the characters, Cole, basically did what's been done to me, what's been done to Olivia, what's been done to you in the relationship the whole time. Comments that don't sound like anything to anyone else. You know, I would come out in all black and my ex would be like, are you going for a run? I'd be like, no, I'm just doing the dishes because you're not, you know? And it's like, it's like I
used to get that. You're eating everything now.
Right. And right. So, and it sounds like nothing to anybody else, but if you've been through it, you know. And she said, like, he destroyed my self-esteem. And I look at her and I'm like, she's gorgeous. Like, there's nothing wrong with her. I would love, you know, like whatever, she's gorgeous. And it's so interesting because you have all these women coming out being like, she's crazy. She's, you know, she's the problem. He cried on camera. And it's like, no, that's what they do. Like, that's what these narcissists do. And you don't have to be a narcissist to give your significant other body issues either. Like, it is not, you know, exclusive to that crowd.
So what was it like when you realized that it, like, was something that had happened kind of to you in a way that you didn't understand at the time?
I will say it was terrifying because I had already seen my mother go through something very similar. I didn't have a name for it, but because I could see my mother go through it, I was like, that's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to let someone treat me like that. And then I get into this contract, this marriage contract. And I am so hopeful, and I can't just like up and leave. Like, I guess I could, but like, I can't, like, I just, let me finish this out. Right. Yeah. But by the time it got to the end of the 8 weeks of marriage, my brain was so messed up. I really considered staying with him. But there was nothing good about the relationship. I was dying inside.
Yeah.
But I was so manipulated. It was so scary.
That's what they do.
Yeah. But yeah, looking back, like as when you're out of it, it's like, oh, wow. That did happen to me. And now I can see why my mom acted the way that she did. Like she wouldn't leave. And it's still crazy to think about. Like I still think of things like, oh, that was like a tactic they did.
Yeah.
So it's a very complicated form of abuse that I just feel like I'm going to keep learning about it because they keep evolving.
They do.
Yeah.
It's true. And Jenny and I talk about this a lot. There's a specific type of narcissistic, I will say, like man, that it's almost like a robot, right? Like they all do the same stuff. And you're like,
I feel like it's like getting a Barbie and you're like, well, you can get a Barbie that's like a school teacher Barbie or one that plays the guitar or one that like is a scientist, but like they're all Barbie, you know, essentially the accessories might change. And it's creepy because when you talk to women who have been through narcissistic abuse, like they say the same things, these people. And it's like, is there a book? Is there like a secret book they're reading from? Or they're are their minds just so programmed that way? And it's scary because I don't know. I like to think that I'm an individual and these people just don't seem to be.
Yeah. So what was it? So you came off the show, you were done with the 8 weeks. What was the healing process like after the show? What did you do to like kind of get back to literally reality?
Yeah. Was it a relief to not have the cameras around? Like, how did that feel?
So I would say don't do what I did to heal. well, first I couldn't exactly heal after the marriage because I had to watch back everything that happened over
oh,
the
my God.
6 months. And I didn't exactly know like how they were going to edit it or because you know how editing goes with reality TV. So that was actually probably worse than the marriage. No, I don't know. They were both really bad.
They can both be really bad.
Both and.
Both sucks. But then after that, like at the beginning of the airing, I was like, all right, I'm going to start this company. So I poured myself into that. I quit my job and I just worked on it every single day until like sometimes I would stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning. And I just poured everything into that. And then I got burnout. So then I had to heal from that. And it's just, I don't know. I guess I wouldn't do what I did, but I didn't know what else to do. I think therapy definitely helped me realize that what I did go through. I think next time I would have just tried to slow down a little bit and maybe process my emotions. But then at the same time, when I think about it, like everything that I created was worth it at the end of the day, because I don't think I could have done what I did if I didn't
completely fully throw yourself into it.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think it's so hard. I think like the upside of this is that what you did to heal was like super positive, right? And like you weren't doing self-destructive things. So like it worked out fine. Like not obviously self-destructive, but I think like I got out of a 10-year relationship and it wasn't abusive. Like I wouldn't say it was abusive. But it was still like the 2 weeks after I got out of that relationship, I felt like I was sprinting a marathon away from my thoughts every single day.
Yes.
And so like, I remember going for a massage and being like, listen, I can't be alone with my thoughts. So I'm going to listen to a podcast. And I mean, this is my story, but like I was sprinting so hard that until I ended up talking to the guy that I'm with now, in a relationship with now, but we've been talking for 2 days. He lives in a foreign country. He lives in Scotland. We're talking for 2 days and I booked a ticket 2 days into talking to him to come visit him for 2 weeks in Scotland. Like, that was crazy. And then I like booked the ticket. I woke him up like 2 hours later. He'd fallen asleep. It was like 6 a.m. in Scotland. And I was like, I can't, this is insane. And he was like, yeah, no, that's insane. And that was the moment I went to bed. I woke up that morning and I was like, oh, I don't have to run anymore. But it's that feeling of sprinting mm-hmm. and being like, I have to fix my life. I have to fix this. I have to get a new place. I have to start a new company. I have to make this bad situation to a good situation. And you just feel like you are running as fast as you can.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's exactly how I felt. Yeah.
And it's a lot, but it threw you into this amazing thing, which I'm always overwhelmed by the creation of a physical company. Like I have a very silly pragmatic question, which is like, how did you do it?
So my background before I started the company was actually in fashion mm-hmm. and brand launching and management. So it kind of just like, I wanted to do my own thing. And I was like, these are the two things that I love. I have experience. I want to do it. So I started at Anthropologie in buying and merchandising. And then I did hotel brand management. And then with the, I was like, well, what part of this should I focus on? And it came back to that, like, I want to make women feel great about themselves. And yeah, so if you guys heard the song by Jax,
Victoria's Secret. I love that song.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I love that song.
That was also, that's like how I feel. And it's like everybody else feels that way too. So
talk through your day to day, like now with us, like as a founder of like a company, right? That makes like clothing. Like, so do you work from home? Do you have like a place that you go ship the clothing? Like, you know, what do you, I mean, you obviously do photo shoots and have models and like, how do you come up with new designs? Like, we want to know all the fun stuff with like the owning the company.
Okay, so start with the product. So it's an online boutique. So most of the styles are from small designers. It's not just me. It's other designers too.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. So that's the product, which is really fun because I feel like I can go shopping as part of my job. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite parts. then, like you said, the photo shoots. I do those in Philadelphia usually. Those are also really fun. The models that I find are usually just like on Instagram at first, but now it's like word of mouth and I have an ambassador community. So I'll send out like, who wants to come to this photo shoot?
Wait, Jenny and I might need to take a trip to Philadelphia.
Yes, please do. Yes.
Do you direct, like you direct the shoots? You do all the, I mean, everything, or do you have like a creative director that works with you?
So that's one of my favorite parts is being creative. So I do direct the shoots. I have a photographer, her name's Kat, and I've been working with her since almost day one. And she just makes everyone look so beautiful and so happy. And I love working with like a female team. Especially when it comes to laundry, it's much more comfortable that way. Mm-hmm. I love choosing like unique locations, finding models and, you know, just the whole creative direction of it is one of my favorite parts.
I can imagine. We would love to do something like that.
Yeah.
Like just in terms of the creative direction, it's got to be fun. So as a boutique, how do you reach out to new brands? How do you find new brands and pull them in? How did you originally get started? Like when you were like, I want to have a boutique, did you know people that had, you know, lines that you were like, or did you just start reaching out to people?
So there's this trade show called Curve New York, and they also do it in Los Angeles, but that's where all of the designers go and mm-hmm. boutiques go to shop them. So I went before we launched the brand, I went there, kind of met some people, looked around, and then just started placing buys, testing what would work, what wouldn't work. Like right now we have bras, underwear, lingerie, pajamas, robes, everything. But we didn't really start with lingerie, to be honest. Mm. I keep saying me, but didn't start with lingerie. The focus was like comfortable bras, underwear, and pajamas. But then as time has gone on, like everybody's just loving embracing their sexuality and sensuality, and now it's like hidden intimates is lingerie. And
I love that. Are you an expert that supports people going through life changes? Are you passionate about helping people live their best lives? Are you ready to reach bigger audiences, new clients, expand your digital footprint, and get your name in the press? If you answered yes to any of the above, it's time to join the Fresh Starts Expert Community. The Fresh Starts Expert Community is here to support you as an expert so that you can reach the clients that need you when they need you. Membership in the Fresh Starts Expert Community fully supports you in establishing your brand as an expert, building your digital footprint, and bolstering your online presence. For only $37 a month, monthly membership in the Fresh Starts Expert Community includes a standalone profile on a platform that reaches thousands of people a month, exclusive workshops, seminars, support in social media, marketing, business development, and even public relations. Yep, monthly membership includes PR support to get your name as an expert into the world. Head to freshstartsregistry.com today and apply to become an expert and join the only community of support experts changing the world today. Use code FRESH23 for your first month free. That's code FRESH23 for your first month of membership in the Fresh Starts Expert Community free. And that's so interesting that it kind of, I'm going to take a guess that that kind of like went along with your healing journey too.
Yeah, right? Actually it did. I never thought about that, but yeah. Like when I first started, I was like, you know what? I don't have to look a certain way. I can just be comfortable. I don't even want guys to look at me right now. Yeah, I hate right. all men. But so then like as things started like getting better for me and, you know, working in therapy and growing the business and becoming more comfortable with myself after being in a relationship where he said he wasn't attracted to me. That was like the main thing, actually. I don't think we mentioned that, but the main thing was that he did not find me attractive.
Which is bonkers. So, just so the world knows, that's bonkers.
It's also just not like
nice.
I mean, I get it. Like he didn't know, like, I understand that he didn't know what, you know, you looked like. And like, you can say like, there's so many other ways to put that, right? That's just not like, oh, it's your fault. I'm not attracted to you. Where like, there's no chemistry. I'm not feeling it. Like, it's just like the spark's not there. But like, and then these men get away with them being like, I didn't know that was a wrong thing to say. Yes, you did. Of course you did. You've watched TV before. Like, of course you did.
And that's such a hit to your self-esteem. And I know that personally, it really is. And when you were talking about like the, you know, owning sexuality and the women's empowerment with sexuality, I think that narcissistic abuse especially messes with your sexuality. Mm-hmm. And your they use sex as a weapon a lot of the time. And yeah. And so I think like for me, I put boundaries up. I still have boundaries up, but it's been years. And it's almost impossible to break them back down. And so I love that you're using lingerie as a tool, right? Mm-hmm. To help women kind of like, I mean, you know, there's so many reasons women are nervous to put lingerie on, but like it goes to what you're like this heart-led founder that like was like, I'm going to take this horrible thing that happened to me and literally like change the world, right? By empowering women with their bodies.
The idea that like, it's not just for the men or the men are the partners too, or it's not just for whoever you're maybe right. are not having sex with. It's also just for you to feel beautiful and to feel attractive and to feel empowered and to feel sexy. If you want to feel that.
I'm going to take a quick turn. Cause I know there's another platform that you speak a lot about, which is ADHD.
Yes.
and we have that in common as well. I was a late in life diagnosis and it's been eye-opening for me. So if you're comfortable talking a little bit about that journey, because that, as I would say, as a founder, it's been very interesting to also realize that I have ADHD. So how was that? Did you know you had ADHD? What's that journey like?
I'm actually excited to talk to you about this too, because I heard on the first episode that you also had ADHD diagnosis. So I actually just found out about a year ago, and it was through TikTok that gave me like the idea to look into it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started looking into it, and then I started, because I knew there was something wrong with me.
Uh-huh.
Not just the narcissistic abuse, but I knew there was something wrong. And I had been trying to go to therapy and stuff like since college, and I always got diagnosed with anxiety or depression. Mm-hmm. And they would put me on They would put me on, and a lot of women too. Most women that have ADHD probably get that diagnosis first, but nothing helped. And like sometimes I'd be fine. Sometimes I'd be great. Like, oh, I'm working on hidden intimates now. I'm great. But then there's the times where it's like I have burnout and I can't do anything. And it's like, why? This is the only thing that I want to do. I can't even do this. And then the depression and just the moods and everything and all of the other symptoms. So when I saw like some of these things on TikTok, I guess they knew I had ADHD before I did, and they served me this videos. I started going to, I went to my primary care doctor, and then I went to a psychiatrist, and then I got diagnosed, and I feel like my life has changed.
Yeah, I agree with you. How has it changed? Because it's a hard, it's hard to explain it. Like, it's hard to, for me to like explain it because it's so nuanced. So how do you feel like it changed for you, like in any of the nuances?
I think the best part of getting diagnosed was I was able to release so much shame that I felt my whole life. Like I cannot, I mean, actually you already know probably, but because we're different, there's certain things that we just can't do the way that everybody else does. And most of the time they're seen as like bad behavior or you're not good enough. So the internal dialogue in my head, since I was old enough to have internal dialogue, has been, why can't you do this right? Oh, you're doing it wrong, or you're not good enough. And just this shame. And sometimes even like parents or teachers or whatever, friends would actually tell you those things too. And it's, but it's not true. So once I realized like what ADHD is and how my brain works and how our brain works compared to other people, I was able to just say like, oh, there is nothing wrong with me. I am good enough. This is just, well, I'm just different. And it just felt so good.
It sounds like you're in my therapy sessions, Kate. There is nothing wrong with me. There is nothing wrong with me.
Not only is there nothing wrong with you too, like as I would say, I'm far from neurotypical, but I don't have ADHD. I, you know, observing my sister makes like, there's so many, there's ways that her brain does work that mine doesn't. Right. And there's so much that she can do that I can't do. And I think that like, it's, I spent so many years being like, well, I'll just like help you organize your house. And then like, it'll be fine because like, I'll organize it the way it makes sense to me. And then it never worked. And it wasn't until I sort of started being like, let me meet you where you are. And then it started, things started working a lot better for like, you know, between the two of us for organization and things like that. Like I so often would suggest solutions for her that were not sensible for her brain. And I feel like that's the whole world to both of you, is people being like, well, just, you know, write a to-do list and put it in your backpack and things like that. And you're like, I, that doesn't make sense to me. So I feel like, but the superpower side of it is the thing that I don't think is as celebrated, which is like, both of you, Kate and Olivia, have been like, I am going to start a company, and then just like gone and done it. I am along for the ride. Like I support her. I make sure she has everything she needs. I say no when the idea is too big, you know, I do all the books and stuff like that. But like Olivia is the one that has the ideas. Olivia is the one that believes in herself enough to be like, I can do this. And there's a certain confidence I think that does come with ADHD of like, why not? Why not me? Like, I'm so focused on this right now.
Yeah.
You know, the podcast, the second podcast, like, you know, Olivia's constantly coming up with things.
I don't know, Kate. I'm going to ask. So I feel like I live half the time in like my brain is in the clouds, and then half the time my brain is on the plant on Earth. So I don't know. Do you feel similarly like with your journey?
Yes. I do. And I think it's something that you had just said made me feel the same way. Like you have all these ideas and you're like, why can't I do that? And it's like, well, actually sometimes it's like not the best idea, but my head is in the clouds and I need, it's like really great that your sister can like bring you back down. Like, and I think that's really helpful too. Like once your family, your friends or your partner knows that you do have ADHD, the way that they can recognize and be like, oh, that's awesome. But like, maybe think about it this way. Why don't you come back down for a second? Yeah, you know? Right. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
How Let's has focus it on this idea for a little while and then see what happens. See how you feel.
I don't always do it willingly.
I guess next month. Yeah.
Yeah. How have you felt like it impacted your business to be diagnosed with ADHD?
It's been helpful, actually. It's been very helpful because I can see things a little bit more balanced than before, where before, your head has to be in the right space, I feel like. And I didn't realize why I was saying, oh, this isn't good enough, this isn't good enough, that part of that actually was my ADHD. Now I can be like, okay, things are fine. You need to stop being anxious about this. And so that's helped overall, like avoiding burnout and just having like a steady work schedule, a work schedule that works for me, like finding the tools that I need to do. Oh, there's so many things.
Yeah.
So many things. I think the ability to just have like a steady, regular schedule, and not just be so passionate about the projects that I'm hyper focused on and just take care of everything has been really helpful.
I've read that narcissistic abuse, and I don't think it's the case for both of you, but I do that narcissistic abuse, the CPTSD that, that comes trigger after it. Yeah. Can trigger it, can make the symptoms worse, can bring out the symptoms where they hadn't been before. Now I've known my sister my whole life, and I don't think it's a new issue. I do think that like it definitely amplified some of it. And from what you're saying about your childhood, it sounds like that's something you've struggled with your whole life. But it is it's interesting. Like if you look at the connection between narcissistic abuse and women who are, like Olivia said, are open and kind and wonderful and warm, who suffer from ADHD, like it's a really interesting connection.
It really is, because it's like, what happened first? Like, did the ADHD happen first and then the narcissist was attracted to you because you're a people pleaser? Or did you get with a narcissist and then get CPTSD and then have ADHD symptoms? It's crazy.
So Kate, when you went through your healing journey and you're like, hey, I'm emotionally and psychologically and spiritually, I'm going to say spiritually abused because they definitely break your spirit. What was it like with your community in real life of the people around you? How did they respond to that?
Oh, that's a good question. So I feel like my therapist and I could talk about it all day, but I couldn't really I did go to my mom a little bit, but she doesn't really want to talk about it. So I think it's still very painful for her.
Yeah.
So we don't talk about it. I do have friends. One friend that I think also who went through a divorce, my closest friend, Megan, we talk about it, but I try not to talk about it with someone who hasn't been through it as much, just because it's too hard to understand for them, I think.
Yeah. What was that like going back to dating, Kate?
Oh, it was rough. It was really rough because I had all of this like new knowledge, but I had still never been with anyone that was like normal. And it was dating in Philadelphia, which it was really hard. But then I gave it a break because of the pandemic, which I think helped. I tried online dating just like a couple times, like the video chat dating, Zoom dates. Yeah, okay. Those went terribly. So I just took a break for like a year. And then I went back on Hinge, and I think I went on two dates. The first one, the guy said, hey, next time we hang out, can you wear less makeup?
And I oh, fuck that.
It's weird.
No. So what is like next for you? Like, you know, with Hidden and Intimates, with like this like movement you're building, like what's on the agenda for Kate for the next couple of years?
I think on the agenda is trying to make my life as easy as possible and happy and maybe a little bit slower. I know that I have a business, and your question also included like what's on the agenda for Hidden, but like I think that I have been focused on like career and finding a good relationship and, you know, money and being the best person that I could be for my entire life at a little too hard. So I think my agenda for the next few years is to build like a platform for an easier life.
I love that.
We're on board with that. I love
you've
that.
You've spent your whole life building all these things. You've built this company. You've mm-hmm. found this relationship. You're in a space and like you're allowed to, the agenda can just be enjoy, like surrender and enjoy, you know, yes. like live in the abundance.
Yes.
Absolutely. And like we always say when we, you know, talk to other founders, like these philosophical founders, as we say, who want these, you know, empowerment movements, when you lead with your heart and your intuition, you can't fail, right? Because you're going to always do the right thing. That's the right thing for you, for the people that you lead and for your company. And so, you know, you have been through a lot and you are allowed to just like enjoy life. And what would be your advice for a woman who is maybe freshly out of a relationship and doesn't know how to kind of get to the next level of her fresh start journey?
I would say, I mean, there's two things that were really important for me. One was like external support. Find the person or people that can listen to you with an open mind, especially if you were in a narcissistic relationship or any kind of abusive relationship. Make sure you're talking to the right friend, because they need to listen to everything they're saying and have empathy. And while you can have friends that can't do that, I don't think that that's there's someone that in therapy too. And then yeah, so I would say that was really important. And then internal, I think that it was really helpful for me to find like a passion and dedicate it to that, because when you're in a relationship, sometimes it takes up so much of your life that it will be really exciting for you to discover parts that maybe you didn't even know because you didn't have the mental space to think about them. So just like explore yourself. It's exciting. It's a fresh start and it's going to be exciting. So it'll be good for you.
I love that.
I love that. That's perfect. I think that's very true.
It is. And we celebrate those fresh starts. That's what all we're about. And all those big milestones. Well, Kate, it is such a pleasure to finally get to meet you and chat with you. I feel like we could talk to you all day about this stuff. Yeah. And we're so excited for everything you're building and for your journey. And just thank you for being here and chatting with us today.
Thank you so much. It was so good talking to you.
Thank you for listening to today's story. We're always here and we're proud of you. Until next time, brave one.
A Fresh Story is brought to you by Fresh Starts Registry, the first and only platform for everything you need to start again. You can read the show notes and learn more about today's episode at freshstartsregistry.com/podcast.